remember that verse in, is it in Numbers, where Amy Carmichael got a rhema from God? You know what a rhema is? Rhema? Well, okay, it's a Greek word. I'll write it here. R-A-H-E-M-A. What's the translation of that word? This is a Greek word for word. Okay, maybe this is a long E, I think. Rhema, word. But the word logos is also Greek for word. What's it? This word is a word or a phrase that is living from a living voice. Living voice. It's Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word. In the Greek, it's rhema, that comes from the mouth of God. So when you read the Bible, as you can sit down and read a chapter, and then there's the Holy Spirit will bring out something in that chapter that's living. And live like this. Live reading the Bible, believing that some of it will come off the page to your spirit. My words, they are spirit and life. And this is what you're listening to today as you listen to me. But I'm only a voice. John the Baptist said, I am the voice, but he that comes after me was before me. Christ was before John the Baptist, but he comes after. So I'm only a voice, but what comes after me is the word, the living word that'll change your life. It's a great way to live. So you are here to hear the word of God. The Bible speak to your heart. When that starts to happen in your life and you get words of life, then it's a new life. It's a new way of living. You are hungry for the word. This is what we call in our ministry word of God revival. It's when all the congregation gets excited about the Bible that is speaking to me personally. It's a word of God revival. How long does it last? It goes on and on. It doesn't end to those that hear. More is given. Mark chapter 4, verse 22 to 24. Be careful how you hear. Luke 8. Be careful what you hear. Mark 4. Because your life is now based on your ears. Many people's lives are based on their eyes, but your life is now based on your ears. To him that hears, more is given, right? When your life is based on your eyes, you're in danger of making mistakes. But when your life is based on God, who you cannot see, but you can hear, then he leads you and guides you by his word. Isn't that beautiful? You learn to love your wife because of the word. Love your children because of the word. Learn to praise God because of the word. So that'll be a good lesson for us today. Would you stand with me, please? And just kind of say in your own heart, I believe that the Lord loves me and that the Lord brought me here, and I'm standing next to the person who's next to me, and I'm going to turn to them and bless them and say, nice to see you. God bless you. Bless you. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Do you believe that the earth is full of God's goodness? Is it everywhere? Psalm 33, verse 5. The earth is filled with his goodness. He opens his hand and satisfies every living thing. And Psalm 145. The earth is filled with God's goodness. Is his goodness towards evil people? Yes, it is. And we'll see that in a minute. Matthew 5, verse 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Why should we do that? Because God does that to evil people every day. He loves them, he gives them food, he protects them, he actually cares for people. Who? Good people? How about save people? Absolutely, save people. And we'll talk about that today. But unsaved people are blessed by God. Every day they live, there's blessings from God towards unsaved people. It's the nature of the world we live in. Unsaved people also interpret that goodness as something maybe they deserve. But actually, none of us deserve it. If we received what we deserved, we wouldn't be here. Yeah. Lord, do not judge me according to my sin. There is forgiveness with you that you may be trusted. Psalm 130, verses 3 and 4. Actually, the grace of God every day is to draw people to God. His goodness is what draws us to himself. Many of us have believed in God and been drawn to God because it's just simply good that the sun comes up every day, that we eat food, that we get to swim and take a shower and go fishing and go for a walk, and the stars are shining and the palm tree is blowing in the sea breeze and the sandwiches are so tasty and the children are happy and running around and the mom and dad are happy and contented and satisfied. And there are so many, many good things about life. Everywhere. Look at Matthew 5, 45. That you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil. Have you ever heard of an evil man living to be 100 years old with hundreds of children and grandchildren and cousins? And a huge family in a big banquet hall. And the man is old, lived a long time, and had been blessed with many blessings in business and his ability, his personality, his success. All that happened to that evil man. Because the sun shines on him, his farm, and then the rain comes on his farm. Look at verse 45. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Do you know what it means? That there is such a thing as what's called common grace or logistical grace. And I like to think of time. This is a graph of time. And in this world, it's filled with common grace. What does grace mean? It's a gift. Turn to Ecclesiastes with me, please, chapter 8. Verse 11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. We'll see that sentence against a murder. A murder is not executed speedily, like Cain murdered his brother. And then God did not kill Cain. God protected Cain. God spoke to Cain. God was giving him grace. And how long did Cain live? It looks like he got away with murder. How long? Like in Baltimore City, how many people get away with murder? There's no execution of justice immediately, and they get away with murder, and they live their lives. Isn't that amazing? Is it just? No. Is it right? Well, with God, he's saying, I'm giving grace. That man, I'm giving him time. I'm giving him time, which is like we could all ask the question, why? And God could answer, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. There is a day coming. It's called the last day, the day of the Lord. There's a day of judgment for the unbeliever at the white throne judgment in Revelation 20. But until then, the man may get away with murder and live his happy life and live his way and so on. That's called common grace. That's not to be confused with salvation. It's not salvation. We have met people when we evangelize who have said, yes, I believe in God. He saved my life. Well, how did he save your life? I was sick and he saved my life. He answered my prayer and I'm alive. Is the person who is saying that, are they regenerated? Are they saved? Are they born again? In many cases, they are not. They just say, I believe in God. And God has been good to me. But has he given you salvation? Has he saved you? Have you been forgiven of your sin? And the man might not know anything about it and may not believe God that way. But he's a believer in God. Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. Do not fear, believe also in me. That's called saving grace. But in the beginning of our message, I want to talk about common grace, how grace is given to everybody in this world to live and move. They have a paragraph here. There's large amounts of common grace does not imply that these people are saved. But they may be very skilled people, very intelligent, very wealthy, very powerful. And they need the gospel of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, they are lost for eternity. But even the most moral and kind of our neighbors still need the gospel of Jesus Christ, or they will be condemned for eternity. They may appear outwardly to have no needs, but Scripture says the unbelievers are enemies of God. They live as enemies of the cross, but God is giving them grace all the time. Look at the verse, Ecclesiastes 8. It says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner, verse 12, though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know it shall, that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. I hope I can explain this to you in the right way. A person is born, and let's say they're a child, and they see the grace of God in life. The child has a birthday party, mom and dad, they eat, they play, they have a swing set, the sun is shining, and they say life is good. Maybe that happened to you in your childhood. We are surrounded by grace every day. The unbeliever has the grace of God every day. They eat every day by grace. That means it's a gift in time where God is good to the evil people. Wow. Yes, he is. He's a lot better to them than you are. And me, we may be very judgmental of evil people and have no patience for them and judge them. But Romans 2, verse 1 says, wherein you judge, you yourself are judged, for you do the same thing as them. What a revealing verse that is. No, I don't commit adultery. Yes, you do. In your heart, yes, you do. You have done that in your heart. I don't hate people. I'm not an enemy of God. Yes, you are. You have been an enemy of God. Of course you have been. There's only two men in the whole world, Adam, the first Adam, and the last Adam. And the first Adam is an enemy of God, and the last Adam is a friend of God. And the first Adam is no different from any other Adam. The first Adam is Adam. He is a sinner. And what does God do with him? In his varying degrees of evil, God is giving him grace so that he can live 70 years or 10 or 30. Whatever God wants to give to an evil man, he gives him grace. He loves people. God loved Cain. Did you ever realize that? After Cain killed his brother, if I was God, I would have killed Cain. You reap what you sow. You killed your brother, I will kill you. But God didn't do that. He spoke to Cain. Why are you angry? He said. He counseled Cain. He tried to reach Cain. He tried to draw Cain to himself, but Cain would not come. Cain died and went to hell, undoubtedly, in the book of Jude, verse 11. Lost, without salvation. But during Cain's life, we could say he was an NFL fan. He had his kids in the best school. Let's say he was in this local nonprofit society organization. He was educated. Maybe he lived a great life all by grace. Do you get it? All by grace. Do you see why we are kind to the ungodly? Why are we kind to the ungodly? Because God is. God is kind to the ungodly. God gives them life. God does not execute speedily. He gives them time to repent. Romans 2, the goodness of God leads a man to repentance. So we have a child who becomes a teenager and his life, this is called, let's say this is happiness scale. This is happiness. And the teenager sins and he starts to feel the negative effect of sin in his soul. He feels the guilt. He feels the broken heart. He feels the loneliness. If he senses that perhaps He feels it. He's condemned. Perhaps there is God, but I'm not sure anymore. His heart gets cold like a stone. He develops the bad habits of his sinful life as a sinner, and time goes on, and he has a broken heart. He's saddened by his lifestyle, and he may find himself in some kind of bereavement, loss. He feels life isn't as beautiful as it was when I was a child. When I was a child in the swing set, and Mom made me peanut butter sandwich and cold milk, and life was great, and I had a dog. I don't feel that anymore. What is he feeling? He is feeling sin and the effect of sin in his heart. He is feeling the alienation from God who gives grace, loves me. The sun comes up every day and goes down. The showers of blessing and encouragement. My education is a gift of grace. My ability to talk and think, it's a gift of grace. The community I am in, the United States of America and the government and our Constitution is a gift to me as a person, that I can be free, that I can have a business or have a family or own a house or have a bank account. That's all the grace of God. Many times we meet unbelievers that are filled with thanksgiving for the things that we have in this world. And you hear it. They say, oh, I'm so thankful for my family. God has protected us and blessed us. Many times you hear people say, I am so thankful. People say, I'm thankful for the United States of America. They say, I'm thankful for the lunch. I'm thankful I've got gasoline in my car. I had COVID. I'm thankful that I didn't die. But the hospital helped me, and I recovered. Thank you for the hospital, God. And the medical people and the medications and the services. And thank you for all of the blessings of grace that I have every day to live this life. That's amazing. It is. It's incredible. Don't become a judgmental Christian that walks around judging unbelievers and saying, you know, they are unworthy. You know, they are unworthy. They shouldn't have anything. They are wicked, evil people. They are unbelievers. They are swearing and cursing God that made them. Yes, they are. They are swearing and cursing, and many of them are unhappy and broken. But do you know that they wake up in a world where God is speaking to them and saying, I have given you the sunshine. I have given you gasoline in your car. I have given you a mind. I've given you an opportunity. I've given you time. You've lived this long, and I'm speaking to you. Isn't that true? Now, in the second part of the message is very important, and it is, we have common grace every day with the unbeliever and the believer. We had a brother sit down here. He was here for some years. He's not here anymore, but he told me he was like a middle-aged man, and he said he had a bullet in his spine. I mean, it just touched his spine, but he got shot in the neck as a 16-year-old in Washington, D.C., and he just lived with the bullet in his body. And he said, God saved my life. And I said, yes. And then I said, did he save your soul? He said, that's the best part of it. He saved my soul. I am born again. Christ saved me. I got saved. What kind of grace is that? That's saving grace. That's the forgiveness of our sins. Because on our graph, You can live with common grace every day and thank God. But have you been convicted of your sin? Have you been forgiven by Jesus Christ and his blood? Are you born of God? That's the key. So, this is how it works. I think all of you know about Frederick Douglass. He was a slave on the Eastern Shore. Remember the story. His father was a slave owner. His mother was a slave. He was born on a plantation over there on the Eastern Shore of Maryland. And he, as a little boy, I think he was 8 years old when he was taken from his mother and put on another plantation. One touching story was that his mother was missing him so much, but she couldn't leave the plantation. But she snuck away at night, walked 18 miles to see her son, spend some time with him early in the morning, and then walked back. And that was the last time he saw his mother. He was beaten by his slave master at times. He also was a very strong-willed guy, and he became like one of our heroes in the abolitionist movement. But he was very bitter and angry and had hatred in his heart because of slavery and being beaten like to within an inch of his life. And he hated the slave master, wanted to kill him. He hated slavery, of course, and he hated what was happening. But his story is amazing, because Christ saved him. You have common grace, and then you have that sin that's working in you that makes you bitter and hateful. And it's not fair. And all of this that can happen in anybody's life, some more than others. But in this story, he says, they'll read it to you. Frederick Douglass included this story in retelling his conversion. He said, "I loved all mankind after he got saved. Slaveholder not accepted," meaning even the slaveholders, "I loved everybody. God took the bitterness away. God changed my heart." Then he said, "I abhorred slavery more than ever. I saw the world in a new light. Scattered pages of the Bible from the filthy street gutters and washed them, the pages, and dried them, that in moments of leisure I might get a word or two of wisdom from them. I was so hungry for the Bible, but I couldn't afford a Bible, but I could find torn pages in a street gutter and wash them off and dry them and use them, looking for a word. I was so hungry for the Word of God." This is the grace of God. You see, many people have the common grace and they live all their lives like saying, "Thank God he saved me from the car accident," or "Have saved me from a broken marriage," or "My children never went to jail. That's an amazing gift of grace. My kids turned out okay," or many of them did, or whatever it might be. And you know that in our church we have families that have lost children on the streets of Baltimore by murder. How horrible that would be. And yet we have mothers here who live with that pain in their heart. "I lost my son," or "I lost two sons." Wow. How do I live? I need God to heal my heart. Maybe the grace that you have in your life, this common grace that is for us for a time, for us to live, and we all have different stories. But it's also a message for God to cry, speak to my heart and say, I am God, come to me, trust me. I will fill your heart with my grace. I will take your stony heart away and give you a heart of flesh. Trust me. I will heal your broken heart. I will save your soul. That's important. Save my body? Yes, he has done that many times. I think we could all, many of us crazy people, it's amazing we survived. By the way, I want to give a shout out to Jack Hadley, State Trooper Jack Hadley. Told us a story up in Kingsville, I think it was. A speeding car goes down on Bel Air Road. They're getting a sandwich or a coffee, he and another trooper. And the car goes 100 miles an hour past. And then, bam, they hear an explosion. There's smoke. They get in their car, drive down, and they pull a man out of a burning car and save the man's life out through the back seat while the car is on fire. So give a hand to State Trooper Jack Hadley. Yeah. Okay. You know what? Hey. That's the grace of God that guy, that kid in the car, his life was saved. Grace of God that Trooper Hadley was on the scene. Grace of God that Trooper Hadley had the strength and the courage to do it. Grace of God. Do you see what I'm saying? Is there salvation yet in the story? No. I didn't say a word about salvation. I don't know anything about that in this case. But I'm saying, Jesus is saying, unless you are born again, unless you are coming to me, unless you are putting your trust in me, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. In John chapter 3, verse 5, you must be born again. All of this goodness is a message to the sinner, to the unbeliever. It's also a message to the believer that the gospel message must be preached, that people must be born of God. They must be saved. And you might say, well, their life is saved. Yeah, but take another look at where they're at in their miserable life. They're eating lunch every day, but it tastes like cardboard. They have children in their house, but they don't like them. They have a marriage, but they're thinking of how to get out of it. They have a party, but they're depressed. What is happening inside? They are dying. They're dying on the inside out. They are dead while they live. They need Christ and salvation. They need the removal of their sin and the guilt. They need to be born of the Spirit and find God as their heavenly Father. You and I are in this world to be kind to them. We are to love them. We are to pray for them. We are to care about their future and say to them, I'm very glad you got over COVID. God saved your life physically, but did he save your life spiritually, eternally? When you do die, will you go to God or will you not? That's a good question. Let me give you more good news. Jesus Christ paid the price for your sin to take it away. Believe in him and you are born of God and you have eternal life. And he'll take and give you a new life. So watch. You know what happens? I've got a new heart of flesh. And you know what happens? It's like my life goes this way, but now it's kind of like the grass is greener. The sky is bluer. The sandwich is better than ever. The dog is happier. The kids are happy. My wife has a new husband. The husband has a new wife. The teenagers seem to be shining. I mean, there's obedience in the house of God. There's a reality that came from God into the heart of people. People are on fire in the spiritual meaning with quietness and peace in their hearts because Jesus Christ is not only the creator and the giver of common grace, but he is the savior, the giver of salvation grace, redemptive grace to give us a new life in Jesus Christ and eternal life, the great gift of eternal life given to whosoever believes. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Maybe you're one of those that said, God, save me out of the car accident. God, save me from COVID. God, save me from cancer. But I have never really done business with God as my Savior. God has kept me alive up to this day, but I've got a sin problem. I've got bad habits. I sin on a regular basis. I have adultery in my heart. I lie a lot. I have depression and fear that controls my life. I need to come to Jesus and find out who God is for me in my soul. I must come to Jesus Christ and put all my trust in him today, not delay it. Now wait until I get better. You won't get better. You got a problem, and only God can change it. Come to God. Say, Jesus, I trust you. Save me. Give me this salvation, this saving grace. Give it to me today. In Jesus' name. Anyone saying the prayer? Just raise your hand. Anyone saying yes to Jesus for the thank you. God bless you, sir, over here. Great decision over there. Thank you, new person. That's it. You're in the family of God. There's another one. Thank you, sir. That gentleman right there with the white on. God bless you. Great decision. It's for real. Talk to God. When you leave here today, everybody raising your hand. When you leave here today, just talk to God as your Father. And he will help you. He will answer your prayer. He will show you. This is a big deal to accept Christ personally. It's a very big deal. And we love you for that. And thank God we're in the family of God. In Jesus' name. We give you a free Bible. We can talk to you. At the closing song with the Greater Grace pastors, just come on down front. Anybody that wants a word of counsel or a prayer, feel free. We're praying for John Clark. He had bypass and doing well, I understand. We thank God for that. And then we'll finish now with a song. Amen.